And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at the most astonishing subject. It is a topic that is so little understood by the general public, and certainly Christian pastors, they don't know a thing about this. But if you'll stick with me for 1 hour today, you're going to know a lot more than, say, Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or Pastor Osteen or anybody in the Christian world knows. It's going to be so amazing. So, well, you wait and see what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my new book that God absolutely inspired me to write, and he inspired me to write this book for you. You know, I don't really write for myself. I write the books God tells me to write, and sometimes they're the strangest books. Sometimes they just don't seem to fit a pattern. You know, a good friend of mine recently wrote to me and said, Tex, I've got your newest book, Robot Alchemy. It's the best book on robots I've ever seen. It's colorful, it's descriptive, and, you know, robots are, well, he said, they're about to take over the world. They're in everything now. And it could be that we're going to be replaced by robots. But why would you write a book on robots? And, well, you know, why would I write a book about the New Age movement and all of its various cults and religions and then turn around and write several books about Judaism? In fact, I'm getting letters from Christian rabbis. Now get that. From Christian rabbis, even though Jesus said, call no man rabbi. But these people, they don't care what Jesus said. They're going to do whatever they want. And these rabbis say, Tex, you don't understand anything about Judaism. I do. You know, I'm Rabbi so-and-so. I'm a Messianic rabbi. Well, they already lost me because they call themselves rabbi. I throw away whatever they send me. I first read it, of course. You know, I read everything. I read everything that comes in here. Even the trash, even the garbage. I read it all. I guess God made me that way because I want to see what these jackals say. Or I want to see what my good friends say. Who's a good friend? You are. If you believe in Jesus, you're my best friends. My best friends in the world. Now, I want to talk about my new book. It is an astonishing book. And I want to explain to you, I have written 4 straight books on the Jews. 4 straight. I've already written them. I sat down at my desk, and I wrote 4 entire books at once. They'll be published over the coming year. This is the first book I've written on the subject of the Jews. My wife says, why do you write about the Jews all the time? Well, God wanted me to write about the Jews, and I think after this program, you're going to understand why I write about the Jews. Wanda said, but you know, Tex, you've written so many books that were bestsellers. You know, Codex Magica, all about the secret societies and their handshakes and their symbols. You wrote about that. Then you wrote about mysterious monuments throughout the world. That was a great book. Then you wrote about robots. So I'm writing about monuments or buildings, architecture, about robots, about secret signs of the Illuminati. And I just go from subject to subject. But, you know, the the intelligent person of God, now, what does it take to be an intelligent person of God? I've often said, show me a man who prays, who has faith in Jesus Christ. That man is the intelligent one. That man has something to say to me. That's the man I want to be my friend. Well, that guy only has a 3rd grade education. He's only got, hey, that man has knowledge. That man is blessed by God. And God said, the wise shall understand in the last days. That's the kind of people I want around me. Somebody said, well, Tex, you've taught at three different universities. You're an Air Force officer. You're so above the normal cloud of people. You're just superior. No, listen to me, friends. I find myself so inferior to God. I find God so magnificent. And the sum knowledge that I have is so little compared to God's that I feel, well, like a worm. You know, that's what I am in terms of God's great creative intelligence. And the man who knows God in the scriptures, well, there's your man with knowledge. Are you like that, friends? Are you a person who's read Shakespeare and knows all about, you know, the sayings of Julius Caesar and on, and Tacitus and Aristotle and Plato and all? Well, let me tell you something, my friends. You haven't even got started yet. You know, you better learn of God. You know, humility is a great thing. And when we know in our humble selves that we're only a small part of this universe, that God had us in mind before we were ever born. You know, it says that we were born from the foundation of the world. When he created the earth, he had you in mind, my friends. How's that possible? There have been billions of people on this planet, but he had you in mind. God knew everything about you before you were ever born. That's why people say to me, well, is abortion murder? Is it really a human being? It's just a little bit of flesh in there. When is the start of life, they ask me. Well, goodness gracious. Life started way before the sperm and the egg joined together. Life started back in the foundation of the world. So yes, you're destroying life. You're trying to take God's place and say, this life is no good. I'm going to destroy it. You're making a big mistake. Let God take that life and mold it and create it. And it comes out a little infant, and then it goes to, you know, and follows its life purpose, doing whatever God wants it to do. Well, some people say, well, when a person gets old and can't think right anymore, we may as well just go ahead and sort of kill them. I mean, they're just taking up resources. They're useless eaters, the New World Order says. How do you know that? How do you know that one word that an old person says can't change the universe? I believe this book is going to change the universe. Not because I wrote Holy Serpent of the Jews, my newest book. Not because it's so fantastic a book. Because it's what God told me to write. That's why. Maybe he told you to do something greater. I don't doubt that he did. Maybe you have some words to say to me or to somebody else that are so fantastic that will make such a difference. Maybe you might change the world. I don't know. It's possible. You say, well, I don't have any education. I don't have any denominational backing. I don't have a wife or husband with a lot of money. You don't. Listen. God has all those things. And so he had me do this book. Now, I want to tell you how this book started. You see, I've been studying the Jews for 30 years. I started off studying the New Age movement. And I'm still studying the New Age movement to this day. I haven't learned everything about it. I wrote a book, New Age Cults and Religions, many years ago. And in that book, I recently updated, but that book, it exposes over 100 major New Age cults and religions. And I only had a glimmer of full truth. And yet people said to me, well, you're the great expert on this. You're the authoritative person of knowledge. Well, according to the world, I was, but still I sought for more knowledge. And I asked God, well, show me the meaning of all these things. Because I knew there was something that connected. Of course, it was Satan. but they connected like a glue and brought all of these things, cemented these New Age culture and religions together. What was it? Well, I finally figured it out. It was something called the Jewish Kabbalah. There's five books in the Kabbalah, the main one being the Zohar. And, oh, it was very complicated when I went to New Age bookstores, and there they all had it on their shelves. They had the various books of the Kabbalah, and I bought all these books. And I saw in all of the doctrines and teachings of the Kabbalah, I saw every one of these 100 major New Age cults. In fact, I know now that there's over a thousand major New Age cults and religions. By the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are just two. Oh, they're not Christian. No, no. And of course, there's all kinds. There's, you know, Scientology and just on and on, the various New Age groups. Now, the Kabbalah, when I discovered that all of the New Age is based on the Kabbalah and its teachings, although they use different terms and, you know, and such, and make you think they're a little bit different, but basically they're the same false religion. And they're all based on the same set of books. Books that came out of the Middle Ages. Actually, they came all the way out of Egypt and Babylon, Greece. And they spread throughout the world from Babylon. But they were put into writing, oh, in the year 13, 14, 1500, in those year frames, put in writing. And there they began to be adopted by the Jews. Now, the Jews also developed another set of books. There's like 60 to 70 volumes, right? Or some say 66, others say 63, called the Talmud. In fact, it's called a Babylonian Talmud. Now, the Babylonian Talmud has different parts, but it basically covers the 613 laws of Judaism. To be a good Jew, you have to learn all these 613 laws. And it includes all the commentary on what this rabbi said about it, what this rabbi said about each one of these laws. And you can study your whole life. In fact, rabbis do. They study their whole life, the Talmud. See these old rabbis in their little black hats and black clothing, and they're studying the Talmud. They don't study the Bible. In fact, to go to a rabbinical seminary, you must study the Talmud, but the Old Testament, the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament are said to be the most important, but not to the Jews. They don't care about any of it. They don't care about the Talmud, the Old Testament. They think it's a bunch of myths. It's just words. But it is important to them because the serpent is contained in the Torah. The serpent has slithered all the way through the five books of the Torah, and it's found there. And in fact, the very middle point in Leviticus is the very middle point. That's where they count every letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and they count how many letters are in the Torah. And the middle point is the belly of the serpent. Now, I recently read an article. It was entitled, "The Serpent Within the Serpent." This rabbi says that it's Rabbi Bakst, B-A-K-S-T, says that this is a great secret. And evidently it's reserved only for the top rabbis throughout the world. But it's known by thousands of rabbis. This is their great secret. The serpent within the serpent. Who is the serpent within the serpent? Well, it's the Jewish people. They are the people of the serpent. And they are contained within the belly of the serpent, right in the middle of the serpent. And he is right in the middle of the Torah. When the Jew reads something in the Torah, he understands it different than you and I do. You see, we're taught plain language. We're taught in the New Testament, whatever Jesus said, he meant us to understand, and he said it very plainly. Now, there's some, of course, stories there that, you know, when Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," he's not a light bulb. When he said, you know, "I'm the bread," he didn't mean he's a loaf of bread. Obviously, we got to understand things a little different than that. But I think you do. You understand. He's the bread of life. Of course, he's not a loaf of bread. But he is the food, the essential food, and if you don't have him, you're going to starve to death spiritually. He is the light of the world. You're going to be in darkness. You're going to be a blind person trying to lead other blind people. You're going to be a blind guide because you don't have the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. We understand what it means. But every word in the Old Testament is understood different than you and I may think about. Now, the Jews have a prayer called the Shema. They say it constantly. Basically, it means the Lord our God is one. And an unlearned Jew will tell you that you worship multiple gods because you believe in the Holy Trinity. You believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You believe in three gods. Well, we Jews just worship one God. Of course, that is an ignorant Jew because he doesn't even understand his own religion. Because when the Jew says, the Lord our God is one, the Shema, they can do the Shema prayer, they're saying the universe is one. That there is only one deity, but he's dispersed throughout the universe. You can't find him anywhere. He is mysterious. He is ineffable. He is a great secret. Their God cannot talk to anybody. The rabbis say that the Jewish God cannot be seen, cannot be heard. He has never spoken to anybody. He doesn't speak to anybody. You cannot pray to this God. And he has a mysterious name. It's called Ein Sof. Now, you thought I was going to say Jehovah, didn't you? You thought I was going to talk about the great I Am. Well, they say that's not God. The rabbis say that's not God. Our God is Ein Sof. That's the great I, the all-seeing eye. But he doesn't see us. He doesn't want to see us. He's the source of all light in the universe. He puts off emanations or sparks. And these sparks become various gods and goddesses. And Judaism and the Kabbalah has named a number of gods and goddesses. So a Jew will worship many gods and goddesses. When they're having sex, they will call on the god, goddess, that is, Malkuth. Or they'll call on the Shekinah, the divine goddess. Or they may call on the Hesed. Who is the Hesed? Well, that's the divine, believe it or not, the phallus. Say what? The phallus is a god? Oh, yes. There's a separate god named Hesed, H-E-S-O-D. They have at least three that I know of, feminine goddesses in Judaism. And numerous other gods and goddesses, but the chief god of all is the serpent. In fact, the serpent contains within itself the entire universe. Has to be a big serpent, doesn't it? And in fact, the Jews propose that there is a great serpent called Ouroboros. Ouroboros. He's a gigantic serpent. He's so big that he encompasses the whole universe, and he is slithering across this universe. He's gobbling it all up, country after country. He finally will reach his own tail. He'll circle all the way around the earth, grab his tail with his mouth, and then the great work of the Illuminati Jews will be completed. Have you ever seen, did you get my book, Codex Magica? Have you seen that serpent on the front cover? There he is. Now, the Bible tells us that Satan is the serpent. Now, we know he's maybe not a real serpent, but then again, maybe he is. But he is a serpent, or the dragon, or the devil. You can use all those names. Revelation 9 through 11 says that he is Abaddon in the Hebrew tongue, and in the Greek tongue, he's called Apollyon. Now, who could worship the holy serpent? Notice I said holy because they say he's holy. They say he's sacred. You must understand something. The Jews say that their God is the holy serpent. And the rabbis have a secret plan for this holy serpent, known as also as Satan or Lucifer, to crush their enemies, the Gentiles, of course, and he will vault the Jews to global dominion. So we have a holy serpent whom they believe in, Satan or Lucifer, a holy serpent. They actually give him another name, though. He's called Leviathan, the great crooked and piercing serpent. But the rabbis have a secret plan. They say that the Leviathan, the serpent, or Satan, will someday soon crush their enemies. And he will take the Jews and uplift them, and they will become as gods on this earth. You know, I was at a conference in San Jose, California several years ago. The subject I was talking about was about the Jews and President Obama. And I explained how President Obama was carrying out the wishes of the Jews. Now, after my talk, a gentleman came up to me, a nicely dressed gentleman, probably about 60 years of age, and boy, was he ever angry. Man, he was angry at me. And he was so mad he stuck his finger right in my face. He said, "Mr. Mars." I said, "Yes." You know, I don't get angry back. I've never gotten angry at these people. I never get angry hardly at anybody. But he said to me, "How dare you say these things that you've said about the Jews? He was a Jew, of course, as it turned out. He said, "We are God's chosen people. And you are going to be roasted in hell for what you say about the Jews. We are God's chosen people, and you're going to roast in hell for what you said here today about the Jews." Well, I said to him, "Well, you say you're God's chosen people. Who exactly is your God?" And he looked at me strange, and I said, I would really like to know, honestly, who your God is. And I said, "You know, we know that Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden, and from them came the human DNA. Now, are you saying that the Jews, as being chosen, you're a special people, that you don't have a part of that DNA, you have something else? Are you not of normal human DNA just like I am? Just like every person is on this planet?" And he looked at me and he calmed down just a little bit. He said, "No, we are different." He said, "We are different. You see," he said, "we have been seated on this earth, specially seated. Only the Jews were brought here by our God." And then he said something, and it really almost floored me. He said, "Our God is the serpent. He it is who seated the Jews. We are his people. We are the people of the serpent." Could that be true? Was their God a serpent? Wasn't he the one in the Garden of Eden? I mean, wasn't the serpent there in the Garden of Eden? How can this be? Well, I determined to find out. I said, "You know, I'm gonna discover what this means." I knew that in the New Age movement, many worship the serpent. I knew that they worship the founding documents of all of the New Age cults and religions. Find me a satanic cult or group, and I will show you that they are based on the Jewish Kabbalah. In fact, Freemasonry itself. Albert Pike, the sovereign grand commander of 33rd degree Freemasonry, he ran the whole show. He wrote the book, Morals and Dogma of Freemasonry, a book I have in my library that every Mason strives to learn. And in that book, Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike, 33rd degree sovereign grand commander, says that the Kabbalah lies at the base of all of Freemasonry. All of its 33rd degree rituals are found in the Kabbalah. That's right. When you study Freemasonry, when you go up to the 21st degree, the 27th, the 30th, the 33rd, which is basically an honorary degree. When you get to the 33rd degree, you have studied, you discover you have studied Kabbalah. Kabbalah is the system of magic, occultism, Satanism. That is at the foundation of every false religion in the world. Oh, even the cult leader may not fully understand, but that's where he got his teaching from, the Kabbalah. That's how he is able to manipulate human beings. Of course, you know that these entertainers are big on the Kabbalah. Madonna, Rihanna, Michael Jackson was big on the Kabbalah. Britney Spears, of course. And all of them wear the little red wristband, showing that they're a Kabbalah student. That's why all these people in their musical performances, they're drawn to bring out a serpent. Have you ever seen that picture of Britney Spears holding aloft the great serpent? And all of her gang of thugs in her music performance are bowing down on their knees before her and the great serpent. She is a great goddess, and this is the serpent. He is the one that everyone will worship, he and his mate, the serpent goddess. Rihanna has the same thing. She worships the serpent. She has come out in performances, and she shows her serpent. Michael Jackson was drawn to serpents. I have a picture in this month's newsletter showing Michael Jackson with his great serpent. They're showing you their God, my friends. This is their God. I went to the Kabbalah, and I went then to the Talmud. And what I found was that the serpent is in each one of these. He's first of all a servant of the Jews. He serves them. He's their companion. He's their helper. He's their mate. They believe the great serpent was created by God to do good. He is the ultimate in doing good. They believe he's the light bringer. He brings all light on into this planet. He's the universal source of light, they call it, in the Kabbalah. In the Talmud, we read that every Jew has as his friend and companion and helpmate the serpent. And they say on the Sabbath, you can call the serpent, you can conjure him up, and command that he go about and do favors for you. Oh. You got cheated in a business deal? Well, he'll have revenge for you. Just call on the serpent on the Sabbath. Your husband did you wrong? Well, call on the serpent. Pray to him. Ask him to come forth on the Sabbath. He'll do your bidding. It says right there in the Talmud. And in the Kabbalah, there's much, so much more about the serpent. The Kabbalah says that the serpent is the Messiah of the Jews. He's their Messiah. He is their Redeemer. My friends, when you have a Redeemer, when you have a Messiah, and it's Leviathan the serpent, well, you're in real trouble. That's what this book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, is all about. It's the first book ever to explain that the serpent is the God of the Jews. Now, I'm going to tell you much more when we return in just a moment. What thousands of Jewish rabbis who met this summer, actually in spring, early summer, they met here in the United States, and they had a commandment for God. They ordered God to do something. Who is their God? Of course, is the serpent. They order the serpent to go forth and do something for them. And I'm going to tell you about that when we return in just a minute. Because what they order the serpent to do, and they say that their Talmud says the serpent is under their command. He is their God. He will do whatever they say. And they say, it's time. It's time for you to come forth and do our bidding. Wait and listen to what the Jewish rabbis of this world are saying. The serpent, it's time for him to do something. Something quite horrible. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We'll be right back after this brief message. Holy Serpent of the Jews. please order this book. I want you to order as many copies as you can afford. It's not because I want to have a best-selling book. It has nothing to do with that. I don't write books because I've got some kind of algorithm or some kind of formula that tells me how many copies they're going to sell. I write them to help God do his mission on earth. Now, if I didn't do them, somebody else would. He's going to give somebody else a blessing. I want a blessing. So I write this book. That's why I write it. And the instant, in fact, while I was writing it, I got blessed. And when I chose the cover, you know what? I had some helpers to help me choose this cover. I said, boy, this is great. Let's go with this. I was blessed. Every page I wrote, I was blessed. And even when I was editing it, I was blessed. And by the time I finished this book, you talk about a blessing. I had a great blessing. Not because I exposed the Jews and their false religion. The fact that Jesus said to the Jews, ye serpents, you generation of vipers. That's how Jesus talked to the Jews. That's what he accused them of. After I've studied it, I realized why he said what he did. I've always wondered about that, my friends. Why did Jesus call them serpents? Why did he call them vipers? Why did he say their religion was a man-made tradition? Did you get that, friends? He didn't say Judaism is of God, but there's just a few little things you need to change. He said your whole religion is of man-made traditions. And then he went on to tell us that they're liars and blasphemers, and he called their synagogues the synagogue of Satan. Now think about that. Why would Jesus do that? Isn't he overly harsh? Isn't he overly critical? Isn't he judgmental? No, he tells the truth. That's when I cried out. I said, well, wait. God, you said they're serpents. Jesus, you said they're vipers. You said they're synagogue of Satan. Who is Satan? He's the serpent. They're of the serpent. Oh, I thought it was just a homily. I thought he was just, you know, using hyperbole. I thought he was just speaking words. Well, they are words. My friend, what comes out of your mouth is very powerful. Please understand this. When you speak on a spiritual subject, when a person says, for example, I don't believe in God, they're saying something powerful. It would be better that they not say that. And if you say things about God that are just sort of a compromise and halfway truth, God said it would be better for you to be all the way in or all the way out. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but because you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. So God, Jesus was not lukewarm here. When he overthrew the money changer's temple, he wasn't lukewarm. Oh, that was mean of him. That was cruel. I mean, to overthrow their temples. Why didn't he just talk to them? Why didn't he just compromise with them? Why didn't he make a deal with them? That's a big one now, you know, make a deal. Why didn't he compromise with them? Why didn't he have a contract with them? Say, you know, let's all work together. Can't we just all get along? No, Jesus said, you're a bunch of serpents. You're a bunch of vipers. Your father is the devil. That's what Jesus said. And your synagogue is of Satan. Boy. Are any of you in a church of Satan? Oh, no, that's Anton LaVey. He founded that back in 1966. And I know about that church of Satan, and I read in the paper recently that they got the Baphomet statue of the goat god and put it out there. And, oh, I'm not into that stuff. Well, listen to me just a minute. You could be. You could be in a church that says they're of Christ, Jesus. But Jesus says many in that great day that's coming, great day of judgment, will say, look at all the things I did in your name, Jesus. But he'll say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Don't you think there's going to be a great surprise? I mean, there's going to be shriveling. There's going to be people that are just aghast. They're going to be shocked and stunned to think that he never knew them. Now, the rabbis were evil, so evil that they crucified Jesus 2,000 years ago. We discover today, though, they're more evil than ever. They've had 2,000 more years to plot, to plan, to scheme, to con us, to manipulate the world, and they're doing it. They slanderously called Jesus a bastard, a sorcerer in their Talmud. Worse than that is their code of hell. They have a code of hell with its deranged Kabbalistic doctrines. And this book tears the veil off. There's a pious veneer of Judaism. They think that they are deceiving you. But Jesus says, you are like whited sepulchers. What is that? That's coffins. They used to paint the coffins white. The sepulchers, the containers of bodies, dead bodies. You paint them white, but inside they're dead bones. And they're full of corruption and uncleanness. That's what the Jewish religion is. It's unclean. It's corrupt. They profess Satan, the holy serpent, as their Messiah. They say he is, quote, now this is in the Kabbalah, quote, he's the fountainhead, the root, and the essence of God's revelatory light. We have journeyed to the center of the world, says Rabbi Box, and ended up in the belly of the serpent. Where are you, my friends, in this serpent? Are you in his belly too? They're obscene. They have an incredible destiny, but it's not a pleasant one. You'll never read another book like this one. I really don't know how long this can be on the market. I don't know whether they're going to kill me, or maybe it'll become forbidden at Amazon and in Christian bookstores. Maybe the authorities will come and close down this ministry. I don't know, because I say on the very back cover of this that I'm exposing the most colossal devil religion ever. This is the most colossal devil religion ever. It portrays itself as something holy and good and pious, but inside it's the whited sepulchers. It's the dead bones, bones of dead men, unclean, corruption. It's what Jesus said. You'll find horror and deceit in Judaism, and you'll be absolutely shocked. I was. You know, for years I tried to say, no, this can't be so. No. Tex, okay, so they're an evil religion, but they don't actually worship the serpent himself. Many Jews don't even know they worship the serpent. They pray to Leviathan. Oh. Dr. Israel Shahak wrote a book about Jewish history and religion. We offered that book through the ministry for many years. Who is Dr. Israel Shahak? He's professor at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Professor, a brilliant man. He wrote about the Jewish religion. He says, Gentiles do not understand that we are not monotheistic. We believe in more than one God. Now, he himself rejected Judaism because he knew what it was. But here he was one of the greatest scholars of all time, Israel Shahak. You can read about him. Look him up on Wikipedia if you'd like. He wrote many books. But in one particular book, he says, when Jews pray, we pray to one or more of many gods and goddesses. And when we have sex, we yoke ourselves with a certain goddess or god. We pray to her, the divine Shekinah, when we're having sex. And he said, if we don't get what we want from one God, we'll go to another God. And one day we will pray to Satan himself, and the next day we'll pray to some other deity. Now, did you hear what I just said? The Jews constantly pray to Satan himself. If they're not doing good in the business world, they might want to pray to Satan. Satan, help me. I want to be rich. Help me get rich. Yes, Satan. But the next day they're praying to another deity. If they want to have sex with some woman, they pray to that deity. It's just like the ancient Babylonians did, friends. This is where it comes from. Ancient Egypt, ancient Babylon. They believe in their Kabbalah that the number 666 is a holy number. It's a great number. It's a wonderful number. Rabbi Moses Hesod writes in the Kabbalah that the number 666 contains messianic potential. Oh, yes. That's the number of their Messiah. Who is their Messiah? Well, that would be Satan. They say Leviathan, the serpent, is their Messiah. But really, he acts as Messiah to bring them to fullness. Because the man who is of a conscious nature becomes God himself. And they say there will come a great day called the Day of Purification. Have you ever heard of that, my friends? To purify means to cleanse something. This is that great day when ethnic cleansing will overtake the whole world. Satan will be in charge, and he will cleanse the whole world of the riffraff. That means you and me. The day of purification. Oh, many, many millions of people will be purged, will be purified. And the Jews will be exalted, and they will have a great banquet. Now, you know about the banquet of the Lamb, don't you? The banquet of the Lamb, the book of Revelation. Oh, my, that's a mighty time when we're all called up yonder and we have this magnificent meal. The meal, the banquet of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Well, the Jews say, we're going to have our own banquet. And we're going to serve up meat. The meat of the serpent. Leviathan. We'll have a banquet in honor of the fact that we're eating the serpent and we become the serpent. Oh, get that? Get that now. When they eat the serpent, they will become the serpent. The occultists believe when they kill somebody, sacrifice him, his spirit goes into them. Remember when the man who shot John Lennon in New York City, they believed that his spirit was coming on them. That's why they shot him. Please, this book, it's just $20. $20 at $5 shipping and handling. I'll order as many copies as you. This book must get out to people. And I want it to get to Jews. Oh, they'll get mad at me. They'll be angry at me. But I explain where their destination is, where your destiny is. You're going to hell. You have the most colossal devil religion ever. It's going to take you straight to hell. You'll see for the first time, my friends, that the religion of Jesus Christ, the new covenant of Jesus Christ, totally refutes the covenant of the Jews. Which, by the way, they don't even practice anyway. They don't believe in the old covenant. They don't do anything about it. Nothing. They have another religion, the religion of hell, of the serpent. They believe in the holy serpent of the Jews. They want a world religion, a world economy, a world government, and they want to lead it. But I first want to tell you how to get this book. I just got sort of overtaken there. Just thinking about this whole subject, just... It actually makes me sad. It makes me so sad. But I'm afraid that millions of Christians have been seduced and drawn into this Judaic religion, and they are Judaizers. And Paul said in Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 1, that they are into witchcraft. He says, who has bewitched you? That you would step aside from your where you learned early in Jesus Christ and go back to Judaism. Friends, don't do that. Don't go into this Messianic Judaism stuff. It's evil. It's patently evil. And if you're in it right now, who has bewitched you? $20 at $5 shipping and handling. Call us toll free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us, Power of Prophecy, or text Mars, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also go to our website. It's right there. I mean, get our website, powerofprophecy.com. Bingo is right in front of you. And just order using your PayPal or your charge card. $20 at $5 shipping and handling. It's the only book like it in the entire world. Now, let me tell you why there's not many books by rabbis like this. Because in the Talmud, it says that anyone, any Jew who teaches a Gentile of the Talmud is worthy of death. That's it. They're going to be killed. They're worthy of death just to teach you the meaning of the Talmud. You see, they're trying to keep it from everybody. I mean, what does Christianity teach about the New Testament? The whole Bible. Christianity says, go forth. Jesus says, and teach the whole world. Teach every nation on earth about the gospel of the kingdom. Think about that. Go forth in all the world. That's in Mark. The gospel of Mark. Jesus said, go into the whole world and preach the kingdom of God. But the Jews say, don't teach the Gentiles.
about the Talmud. If you do, your penalty will be death. Oh my. They want to keep it from you. They want to hide it from you. It is so hideous. It is so monstrous to think about it. About the holy serpent of the Jews. Who can worship the serpent? Who can make it their companion, their friend, their Messiah? Only the Jews, only the ones who crucified our Lord Jesus, who Paul said are contrary to all men. That's why they've been thrown out of country after country. Paul said they're contrary to all men. Let's return now to our program. All right, we're back again, and I promised I would tell you what the rabbis that met, thousands of them met, and they looked strange in that giant auditorium. All these black-robed, black-hatted rabbis with their full white beards. And they had a vote at the end of their great conference. Thousands of rabbis. And they voted that God would have to follow their instructions. And so God was given an order, a commandment, to produce their Messiah. They said, it's time. The world has arrived at the time for our Messiah to come. Of course, the true Messiah of the world, Jesus, they've rejected. They believe their Messiah is to come. Who will that be? Well, that will, of course, be the serpent. He will possess some man, no doubt. And he will be known as the Antichrist. The Antichrist. But they said, it is time for the Messiah of the Jews to come. And for the global kingdom, the world kingdom, to emerge. We command you, God, do this for us. Wow. Who is their God now? My friends, it's the serpent. Who are they speaking to? The serpent. They were saying, serpent, you are our God. You're our Redeemer. You're our Messiah. Go forth, give us a man like you who will lead us and lead us into the New Age kingdom. We're ready for it. We're on the very cusp of it. Come, we command you. Oh, yes, they command God. They're over God. And they said in this article, I read this article, it said the Jews believe that by voting, and it was a huge unanimous consent, that they control God. They tell God what to do. You know, the Talmud says that God, when he seeks religious counsel, he must go to the rabbis for instructions. The rabbis are over God, and they have commanded him, go forth and present to us our Messiah. This book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews, will tell you about the Messiah, the Antichrist to come. Think about it. They are saying, Holy Serpent, bring us the man who will most represent you, who will be the incarnate serpent. Let me tell you a little bit about what you're going to learn here when you get this book. You're going to learn about the serpent in the Talmud, the serpent in the Kabbalah, and how the Jews worship the serpent, how they have made it their friend, how it has the same number as the Messiah does in Gematria, which is the science, so-called, of numerology, occult numerology. You'll find out why Jesus told the Jews, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Why he said the kingdom is taken from you. Why Jesus called the Jews serpents and a generation of vipers, a race that is of vipers. And he asked this question to them. Jesus asked the Jews, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wow. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You'll also find out something else, that Judaism is a sex cult. Did you know that all the gods and goddesses of Judaism are all having sex with each other? They're all having sex with each other. And when you have sex with your mate or your lover or your wife or whatever you have with, you're inspiring the gods to have sex. And that sexual energy creates a force. That's why they believe the God of forces. Have you ever heard of that before? The book of Daniel? says the last days king or antichrist, will not worship the God of his fathers, but instead will worship the God of forces. That's it. And sex creates a force. And when you have sex here on earth, they're in the above worlds, they're having sex there. You have inspired them. In fact, you are told to have sex with as many people as many times as you can here on earth, because they say that the Satan or the serpent is constantly pestering the divine daughter. There's a daughter and a son, and then there's a mother and a father. You didn't know there were all these gods and goddesses, did you? But Judaism has them. And Satan, or the serpent, likes to have sex with a daughter. He's constantly pestering her to give him sex. But he's also curious about what you're doing here on earth. And when you're having sex with your partner, he wants to watch. He's a watcher, I guess. He can't be messing around with a daughter up in heaven, or wherever it is. They don't actually believe in a heaven or a hell. That's another thing you'll find out in Holy Serpent of the Jews, that the Jews do not believe in a heaven. They don't believe in a hell. They believe in these divine dimensions out there, these places. But as far as hell, there is no hell. Not as such. And there's no heaven for the Jew to go to. They believe that the earth is going to be made into a paradise, and they will rule over it. That'll be sort of their heaven. Now, Judaism, you'll discover, is a cult of the rabbis. And both the Talmud and the Kabbalah are authored by biased Jewish rabbis, all of whom have rejected the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, in Jesus' day, they had an oral. That means, you know, it wasn't in writing. It was by speech. It was verbal, oral, Talmud. But in around 300 A.D., they put it into writing. They thought it would be more beneficial to be written down, because the Christians had the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they needed something to fight that, to combat and contest the Christian book. So they developed this Talmud, written by the Jews and their rabbis. Then they developed, around 13 or 1400 A.D., the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is at the very heart of Judaism. It grips the religious Jew with its bizarre doctrinal structure, and it introduces in his life, or her life, a fascinating array of mystical, magical practices. These include gematria, the magic of numerology, astrology, necromancy, that's communicating with dead spirits. Oh, yes, they communicate with dead spirits. Oh, yes. The Festival of Booths. Many Messianic Christians worship the Festival of Booths. Well, that's when they communicate with the dead. That's when the Jews communicate with the dead. Are you going to communicate with the dead? You better not worship these horrible festivals of the Jews. It's terrible. They believe in color mysticism, chanting, mantras, dream interpretation, astral travel, goddess worship, sexual tantra, occult visualization, divination, occult symbology, altered states of consciousness, psychic mind powers, idol worship, and many other elements of witchcraft. All these are part of Kabbalah. That's why it has permeated every false cult and religion known to mankind. Where do they get the Kabbalah from? Babylon, Persia, Samaria, Egypt, Greece, Rome, all the pagan cultures. You know, I went back and I studied the pagan cultures that worship the great serpent. I found that everywhere the serpent is worshipped, you know, is worshipped in all these pagan cultures. In ancient Egypt, of course, the headdress of King Tut and his great queen, there's the cobra, the God and goddess. They worship the great serpent. In Babylon, they worship the serpent. In ancient South and Central America and Mexico, the Aztecs, the Incas, they all worship the serpent, Kukulcan. I recently went to San Jose, California, and there the city council had voted money to erect a great serpent god, actually a goddess. Yeah, you're driving right downtown. You look on the corner there, and there's a great serpent, a great rising up. Now, they've taken down the cross. They've taken down crosses everywhere because, you see, we want to separate church and religion. So why is it that in San Jose they've erected the great serpent god, a monument to it? Wow. Now, both the Talmud and the Kabbalah are racially based. They're racist documents. They say that the Gentiles are like cattle. We're no good. That it is our destiny to be servants to the Jews. The Jews are sparks of God, little sparks of light. But we, well, we're just nothing. It is our destiny to give all of our possessions, all of our money to the Jews and to worship them. And we will do so on the day of purification, or they will take our heads off. Wow. By the way, their God, the serpent, has a wife. She's called the Holy Presence, the Shekinah. You know, I was in a Baptist church not too long ago, attended as a guest. The pastor began to tell us that, he said, you know, I just feel the Holy Shekinah is in our sanctuary today. And I said to myself, do what? He said it again. He said, don't you feel the presence of the Holy Shekinah here with us? And then he went to explaining who the Shekinah was. He said the Shekinah is the consort, the mate of God. She it is who's like the Holy Spirit. I went up to him afterwards. I said, you know, Pastor, where did you learn this about the Shekinah? Well, he said, I studied it in my, you know, Baptist writings. I said, the Shekinah, that's the Jewish goddess. She is the consort. She's the goddess. And she has sex with the God. And he looked at me like he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, you just told us the Holy Spirit was a female presence known as the Shekinah. It doesn't give a sex to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. You made this up out of thin cloth. Boy, he was ready to get rid of me. But everybody else in that church believed it. The Holy Presence. The matron. The goddess. And the Jewish religion is a mind-sick sex cult. One of the deities in the Kabbalah is a creature known as Yesod. Yesod is the phallus. He's the phallus. They actually worship the man's genitalia. Now, Yesod, what does he do as a god? He lusts after, he has sex frequently with a goddess named Malkuth. You ever heard of Malkuth? He was called Moloch, or she was called Moloch. She was sort of a bisexual, male and female, god and goddess. Moloch. Do you remember Moloch? Moloch was worshipped, of course, by Solomon when he apostatized. He required of the priest of the temple 666 talents of gold. You can read about that in the Book of Kings. Now, there's another higher feminine deity, the goddess Bina. She has sex with another god, Tifereth. Satan, meanwhile, enjoys sex with both Bina and Malkuth, and with lesser personages. So these gods are just copulating everywhere. You know, study the ancient Greek religion of the gods and the goddesses. You know, Hercules, Zeus, Athena. There you have it. They just have different names in the Jewish pantheon. But the worst aspect of Judaism is the worship of the holy serpent named Leviathan. And the Jews believe that they can do both evil and good works. And yet, they expect godhood. I want you to have this book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. The Rabbi's Secret Plan for Satan, the Serpent, to Crush Their Enemies and Vault Them, the Jews, to Global Dominion. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My hope, dear friends, is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.